And you're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Cherie. I'm your girl, Cherie Darienne. What's up, Savannah? So happy, so thankful, so delighted to be back in the studio today, bringing you another amazing guest. But this week is plural. I'm bringing you several amazing guests in one. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But before I jump into that, let me jump into this and remind you, you're listening to WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, WRUU.org, 107.5 FM. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. And the viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily that of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. And without further ado, what's up, what's up? Cherie, who do you have with us today? Well, I am bringing you someone that's very, very familiar with the WRUU family, Miss Ayanna Mills. Miss Ayanna, are you on the line?
Well, I got married between our visits. You know, I got married, I think, the last time we
yes, you were. I love it because some of the guests that I'm connected with on social media, I get to peep your real life, right? And so I see I've been seriously enjoying the marital bliss videos of your husband serenading you. How's married life?
Married life is absolutely amazing. All of the frogs I had to kiss, it was worth it to get my king. It was so worth it.
Wow. Well, see, it's all a matter of perspective, you know. I love that. So congratulations once again. It's a beautiful love story. And for those that may not be familiar, this is like, you guys came full circle, right?
Yes, ma'am, we did. We were high school sweethearts. We broke up for 25 years. We reconnected and oh my goodness, I'm married to my best friend and it was just really all worth it. I would literally choose to do it all over again just to be in this space with him. So
much that both, I'm sure, of you have learned and grown throughout that 25 year gap.
Yes, and we appreciate one another more and haven't gone through the issues because we both were previously married. You know, it's like we went through the same exact situation. So we just really appreciate one another more. And I always like to encourage all of the divorcees, you know, to not ever give up. I definitely wasn't looking for it, but it did find me. I literally was just minding my own business. And, you know, he told me one day, he says, you know, I realized what I'm looking for and it's you. And it just made sense. You know, it made sense. Yes.
It also sounds like you guys are adulting, like you get life today versus what you were doing when you got started as sweethearts. There was so much more to learn, not just about life, but about your own selves individually.
I'm so happy that we did. I just told him last night, I said, I don't think anybody really knows anything until they're like 40.
Exactly.
We've just grown so much. And I mean, life really is just—it's just this thing, you know. If we just keep living it, there'll be some ups, downs, you know, twists, turns, splits, you know. But it's all worth it, and it does work out for our good if we just keep on living.
Wow, that is beautiful. That is a scripture that's been on my heart. It's been resonating with me a lot lately, that all things work together for good. But I'll tell you another word that I'm already really picking up on through this conversation, and we just got started, is life, life, life. I keep hearing that. It keeps resonating in my spirit, life, life, life. I don't know what that has to do with our co-authors here, but maybe they will touch on or add to that as well. But I hear that because, you know, while we're celebrating the highs, you with this marital bliss, and we see the highlights and snapshots of life. I've also seen a challenge, a health challenge that you've experienced
as
well.
Right? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but I don't want to jump ahead of me. We're going to chill out for a second. We're going to come back. I want to just say hello to the other co-authors, your family, Ayanna. Savannah knows you. We're going to come back to you and your story. She's not going anywhere, Savannah, so we're going to deep dive a little bit more. They're probably saying, no, Sheree, let her share. Well, she's going to share in just a moment, but I think we couldn't roll out the red carpet without loving on her co-authors, Dr. Anu Benny is back all the way from India. What's up, lady?
Yes, I'm back.
How are you? Are you in India right now at this moment?
Very much in India. And I'm from a place called Mumbai.
Yes. What time is it? What time is it at your home now?
It's 11:40, just 20 minutes to a new morning.
Oh, wow. It's almost midnight in India. She's on with us, Savannah. Amazing. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I really think I should touch on that point that you said about life.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, it's very true. And I think, this entire piece of art is actually to bring life back the way it is supposed to be. I just wanted to hit upon that because I got the opportunity to be on a TEDx platform. And anybody can search on it. You just need to put a Google search of Dr. Anu Benny plus domestic violence. I don't know why, otherwise it doesn't turn up. But yes. I've spoken about, the reasons why people are not able to leave their abusive relationship and how I rebuilt my life. But the five magical words that actually, just hit me hard was, when I was at my rock bottom, just rock bottom, my friend said, five magical words, and they were, you still have your life. So at whatever stage of point of, wherever you are, irrespective of the age, I think one thing that we all take for granted is the life that God has given us. And we surrender to people and not to the life and the purpose that God has given. I think, I'm so happy that, you're bringing this up. And I think Anna has done an amazing job. I mean, hers is like the end time ministry, She is giving voices to people who are so silent. And I have actually experienced the power of the voice. We have been silenced, but through this writing, and I'm sure all the authors are going to experience and say the same thing maybe a few months later, that your voice is going to bring life.
Ah, lovely. Lovely. Those five magical words, you still have your life.
Exactly.
So there is something very special about that today. We're going to continue, but I wanted to certainly welcome you back to the Courageous Conversations and this platform on WRUU. It's a pleasure. And we're going to continue. We're going to come back to you again shortly, Dr. Anu. But let's go to, this person, she gets the Special Star Award because before I even got back to my office, I got notified that Ms. Samantha Johnson Ote was already on. This girl didn't come to play. She came to do some business today. What's up, Samantha?
How are you? Good. I'm doing well. I'm not technically savvy. So yes, I did have to get on early to make sure I was all good for you.
See, if you didn't say that, we would have never known.
But they say the early bird gets the worm, right?
That is it. It is such a delight to have you on. I can't wait to hear each to your story. That's the beautiful part of my role as your hostess, is because I don't know your stories yet. So you get the opportunity to not only share with me, but you get to share with my listening audience here in Savannah. And you probably heard me say globally as well. You get to do that as well. So the beautiful part about it is you don't know. This is reminding me of something that I heard Oprah say, that Maya Angelou said to her about her legacy. It's every life you touch. And so you will never know how many lives you touch, because you never know who hears your voice after this particular recording. So that feels really, really good. And with that, without even knowing your story, I celebrate you. So thank you, Ms. Samantha, for being here and being the early bird.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having us. And I look forward to reading the other ladies' stories as well. I don't believe we've all read each other's transformation stories as of yet. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Oh, we're all sharing and learning today. Fabulous.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome, Sa. So we're going to keep this party going. Ms. Monique McKay, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am. I am. I'm here.
Welcome to the party, my love. Your name is so familiar. I don't know if our paths have crossed before, but either way, thank you. It's a delight to also have you here. I'm delighted to hear your story as well.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Was there anything else you wanted to share now?
No. Thank you. That's it.
Okay. So we're going to come back to you in just a moment. And then last but not least, Ms. Sharde Vera. Ms. Sharde, I love saying your name. Hello. Can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes. Very good.
Hello.
Hello, my darling. How are you today?
Great. How are you doing?
Fabulous. 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 Thank you for being with us. I am going to do what I affectionately call roll out the red carpet for you. And that is my way of basically introducing each one of you briefly, very briefly, because you have long bios. But that's my way of introducing you to our listening audience so they can kind of get a little idea of who is speaking to them and sharing with them today. Does that sound okay?
Sounds good.
Yes, it does.
I am all a call and response type person. So it's okay, guys. It's okay. All right. So up first, again, a returning guest, Dr. Anu Benny, holds her doctorate in engineering. She is, as stated, a TEDx speaker, international trainer, and designing your life coach. She was born and raised in India in a middle-class family. Her journey from a broke mother to a successful first-generation woman entrepreneur is inspirational. She draws on her own experience of struggling with patriarchy, domestic violence, single mother, self-identity issues, introverted nature, multiple setbacks, and how she worked her way up the corporate ladder to achieve success both personally and professionally. She has won many awards to her credit, including Best Training Professional, HR Future Leader Award for Excellence, Indian Legacy Award 2021, and is also a well-sought motivational speaker. She believes everyone deserves to thrive, and she conducts workshops to inspire and empower someone who is emotionally stuck, find a new career, or contemplating whole new futures. She helps clients with the tools and step-by-step guide to leaving their failures behind, better understand themselves, and create a life that will work for them. She has a special heart for introverts and people who have faced a setback. She is an avid lover of Indian handicraft and loves to travel the length and breadth of India, visiting historical places to know more about her land and its inspiring culture. She also co-owns an Indian fashion brand, Blissful Drapes, decorates traditional and handmade Indian drapes and jewelry. To know more about her life, her work, and speaking engagements, please visit her website at Anubinny, AnuBinny.com, or email her at connect@anubinny.com. Welcome, my darling. And next we have Ms. Sharde Vera. Sharde is a U.S. Navy veteran, wife, mother, and published author. After spending 6 years in the Navy, Sharde discovered that writing was her true passion. From the struggles of her life and her own lack of stability and self-esteem, Sharde drew inspiration from God to help others who suffer from the same issues through her writing and life coaching. While she initially wrote as a way of spending time with her own thoughts, writing has launched her into an incredible journey of self-discovery that saw her gain confidence in herself and her faith in God. She soon went on to create and publish her first children's book called She Is, which will take children and parents alike on a journey of self-love, encouraging them to believe, trust, and unconditionally love themselves. So you guys are absolutely amazing. Welcome, my love. Welcome. And next up, we have Miss Monique McKay. Monique is a UCF graduate with 26 years of registered nursing experience. She has held various roles throughout her healthcare career, educating patients and family on disease management to facilitate optimum recovery. She's an avid patient advocate and continuously seeks ways to collaborate and effectively articulate information to multidisciplinary teams for effective outcomes. Monique is a member of several prestigious health organizations, including NAHSE and Show Me Your Stethoscope, and currently serves on several nonprofit boards. She is the president of Unique Path LLC, a company dedicated to building self-awareness and personal development, and is also in the process of writing a self-transformational book entitled Still Feeling Markdown? Stop, Choose You, and Embrace Your Unique Value, which shows how she overcame a distorted perception of life and low self-esteem after being born with a birth abnormality. She is also in the process of developing a mobile translating app for healthcare professionals, T-A-H-P, which came about during the heights of the COVID crisis, and realizing that she was not effectively communicating with non-English speaking patients and families about their needs. Her vision is to encourage individuals to embrace their uniqueness, to find their true calling, and ultimately fulfill their life purpose. She has two kids in college who have been her daily inspiration, and Monique can be reached at via email, moniquefears247@gmail.com. Okay. And last but certainly not least, we have the collaborator in all things Thinks a Mill, Miss Ayanna Mills Ambrose, formerly Gallo, has an MBA and is a literary strategist that maximizes success. She entered the literary world as an author of the Amazon International best-selling book, God and Hip Hop, a 21-day biblical devotional inspired by hip hop. Since God and Hip Hop's debut, she has become the Amazon's best-selling author of 18 other books and a licensed and ordained evangelist. Ayana is also the creator of the Write, Pray, Release book and program designed to equip the masses to self-reflect on past hurt, write it out, and release the pain. I love that. Ayana empowers women to embrace their past stories of triumph and tragedy as the core of their successes. She is the creator of God in Hip Hop, a proprietary system that has produced 46 cohort Amazon International best-selling authors. Wow. Writers who, like her, were once afraid. Hear this, Savannah. Writers who, like her, were once afraid to share their stories due to shame. Wow. Through her company, Thanks a Mills LLC, Ayana has delivered numerous literary and empowerment speeches and helped over 150 authors to achieve their best-selling dreams through marketing and publishing. Her work is rooted in seeing the power in turning what was designed to destroy you into something that propels you. Ayana is a native of New York, but a current resident of Georgia. She is a happy wife and mom to three sons, and she can be reached at thanksamills.com. That's thanksamills. Wowzer, guys, you guys are amazing. But now.
Thank you. You missed one.
Who did I miss?
The one who was on early.
That's Samantha. Samantha was on early.
Yeah.
I got her. Samantha, didn't I get you?
No.
Hold on, guys. Hold on. Here's the beautiful part of this. I can edit this part out. Nobody's going to hear this. I sure didn't. I said hello to you, but I didn't read your bio. Okay. Cool beans. All right. So now. Okay. And last but not least, we have Ms. Samantha Johnson Ote. Is that correct, Samantha?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Samantha Johnson Ote is a wife and mother, mentor, philanthropist, up and coming entrepreneur, and soon to be best-selling new author, a native New Yorker. Samantha is married to her loving, supportive husband of 20 years, Kevin, and mother of two beautiful daughters, Kiara, 21, and Sydney, 6. She currently resides outside of Dover, Delaware, with her family and their puppy. Is it Boogie?
It's Bogey.
Bogey.
Yeah, Bogey. He's a part of the fam.
Awesome. In 2013, Samantha graduated highest honors and Phi Theta Kappa recipient from Howard Community College with Associate of Arts degrees in both psychology and general studies for 25 years. She has dedicated her life in service-related fields, taking on leadership, training, and supervisory positions. She has served as an academy counselor, mentoring high school students, and mentored youth and young adults in financial literacy. Currently, while caring and advocating for her youngest daughter, an epilepsy and autism warrior, Samantha has been writing, studying to become a master IEP coach and working toward certifications in life coaching and autism awareness. She also consults families on ways to support their child or children who have unique or specialized developmental needs. She can be reached at sharedthroughpurpose@gmail.com or on social media at Samantha Johnson Ote. That is O-T-E-Y. Whoa. Okay, I think I just peeped some of your stories and what it's about. But what I'm loving is how you're taking the hand that was dealt to you in life and deciding. And I think that's the key, to leverage it and use it for good. Would you guys agree? And anybody can jump in.
Oh, yes, definitely. To let our transformations, you know, to help lift up, not only lift us up and encourage us, I think it's also there to help other people learn that they don't have to stay stuck in the situations that they're in.
Yeah, I agree. And it may be because me reading your bio, Samantha, that with your daughter, the developmental issues, you're pursuing certifications now so that you are better equipped to meet those needs. But you could have just kept that to yourself, you and your family. You're choosing to be of service for your community at large. Why? Why did you make that connection there, that distinction?
I did think about whether I should keep it to myself or not, because it's a harsh reality to face. But once I did face it, I said, you know, my daughter can only be helped if it's not just me, my husband, and like our immediate family. Everyone needs to know, because I grew up having a learning disability, and I speak about that in my story and how no one really knew. It was just once I got helped for it, it just, when the tables turned, those expectations, they say, oh, we didn't know that you struggled in this area. But when you have a team around you, you have a community around you, you get so much advice, you get so much help. And that's why I want to help others. I want to be well-versed to definitely help my daughter. But and through there, when I speak to other women and just families in general, on social media platforms and things like that, I find that they're lost. They don't know where to turn, where to get help from. And I was in that position with my family, with my daughter, looking at her to say, you know, how do I help her? How do I get her the best care that she needs? And it was only by reaching out and by other people sharing their story. So I said, you know what, I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Dr. Anu, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, actually what happens is that when we go through some tragic incident, we initially try to just shut off. People who get help, they always find a way out. But there are a lot of people who just get into their cocoon, or, you know, get into their veil, or, you know, block themselves out, and they start living in isolation. And one of the things that I have observed is that when I've been sharing my story is that suddenly there is a feeling that, you know, they are not alone. You know, they're not only one who have gone through it. So that brings inspiration. Transformation is when you tell them, how did it happen? How did I, you know, overcome it? How did I make things work? So that inspires them, one, to transform. And second, it gives them some few logical, you know, steps, like, you know, like how Samantha was telling, like, you know, what to do next. We don't know what to do. You just cannot right. Google such things. So I think that's the power of, you know, that's the power of sharing your story. So, you know, and the third thing is, very often, especially the society, they will, you know, they will talk to the, you know, for example, if I'm talking about domestic violence, then we just can't end domestic violence by continuously speaking to the victim. Someone somewhere has to also, the society needs to empathize. We cannot end domestic violence without changing people who abuse and unknowingly who are okay with it. So I think that's why it becomes so important for us to, you know, tell the story. And of course, as Samantha very rightly put, the moment we embrace our story, suddenly we are living in our truth. And I think that's
yeah.
Where we become courageous.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think this is a good, certainly, segue here back to the name of this book. This book is Radical Woman, One in a Million. Mm-hmm. What I'm gathering from your comments, your remarks, is you may be one in a million, but you're certainly not the only one. But many times, mm-hmm. when you're going through whatever life is offering up, we feel like we're the only one going through it. So with that being said, I'd certainly like to come back after this break and discuss or unpack why this name and how does each one of your stories, what does it mean? What did it mean to you? Just that, how did that relate to your story being a radical woman, but more importantly, being one in a million? Okay, so we're going to take just a quick break and we'll be right back with you. Savannah, you're listening to WRUULP 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners and by Sentient Bean. Sentient Bean has been serving fair trade coffee, thoughtfully sourced food, and other items to the community since 2001. They offer curbside pickup, delivery, and online ordering as well. They are open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily and are located at 13 East Park Avenue on the south side of Forsyth Park. More information can be found at sentientbean.com.
Beginning on November 17th and running through mid-January, Location Gallery at the corner of Liberty and Bull Streets is holding a 300 and under sale with an emphasis on holiday shopping. All purchases during this period will benefit WRUU. Gallery hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekdays and 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. You can also find and shop at Location Gallery online at www.locationgallery.net.
And we're back. You're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. I'm your girl, Sheree, and today I have returning guest, very, very special returning guest, Ayanna Mills. Ayanna, you have another, robust number of authors, co-authors here with us today in a brand new book, Another Radical Woman, right? But this one's one in a million. Why don't you unpack, share with us about this particular title of this book, and then if you would allow everyone else to elaborate on their particular chapters.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. The term radical woman, radical is actually an acronym for resilience after difficult issues, changes, and losses. So that's radical, being resilient after difficult issues, changes, and losses. And woman is to win, outlast, maximize, achieve, and nurture. So that's radical woman. And these ladies are perfect for the book because their stories are in line with being a radical woman. The reason it makes them one in a million is that although they're not the only one who has gone through their issues, they are one who boldly stands up and talks freely about it so that they know that they are special and they got through it, but also to reach back and help those that are struggling with the very thing that they have overcome. So that's where the title Radical Woman, One in a Million came from.
Wow, I love that. Dr. New, why don't you share what it means to you and how your story, how do you view your own story as being one in a million?
I think Ayanna has put it up very beautifully. It is definitely how we decode being a radical woman. And when I think about it, I think that whenever we hit a setback or whenever there is some issue that we face, the first thing that gets clouded is your identity. You know, you lose your identity. Your identity is lost. You don't know who you are. Either the tragic event take over you or whatever it is, you lose your identity. And I think when you stand up, the one in a million stands out for me is that I was lost and now I'm claiming back my self-identity and moving from being abandoned. When I was abandoned, I did not know, I did not have any identity. But when I claimed a self-identity and I moved from abandonment to self-made, that's when probably I became one in a million. And the one, and I represent that first person, the million women who will reclaim their self-identity while moving from abandonment to self-made. That's how I see it.
Wow, that's, I love the perspective. That's pretty amazing. Monique, Samantha, Sharde, what would you like to share?
So, okay, this is Monique. So from my contribution to the anthology was that my one in a million moment was that I was born with a birth abnormality. And, you know, I for the first like 22 years of my life, I had to struggle with this birth abnormality. So once I came to the US, I got it resolved, but it left just a slew of low self-esteem. It was actually a kidney disorder that caused a lot of urinary incontinence. So I struggled with that throughout my life. And although I got it resolved, it left, like I said, a lot of low self-esteem, low self-confidence. And so once I got, you know, once I got the chance to speak to the surgeon, I was told that only about probably less than 20% of the population is ever, you know, has ever had this type of problem, and it's normally resolved during childhood. So I was angry at my family for a long time, and so I had to just learn, because I felt like I was abandoned, I was allowed to go through life struggling with this disorder. So my one in a million moment came when I finally said yes to myself, stop hiding behind low self-esteem, insecurity, low self-confidence, and making excuses for myself. I started learning to forgive, and I was able to move forward. So that's kind of what I explored in my story.
Thank you for sharing that. Now, obviously, as you're sharing, question marks are popping up in my mind, because oftentimes what happens as an author or as you're a speaker and you're, you know, getting on these platforms and sharing your story, it sounds like it's an overnight success, right? Like there's an elevator to get over it. Right. You shared that you basically held yourself accountable, but that sounds like that was a process. Am I mistaken in presuming that? Or
oh, absolutely.
Like, what was that epiphany moment for you where you was like, okay, come on, Monique. You still have your life, or whatever that thing was that made you say, this is my moment. Okay. Because oftentimes that's what it is. It's a moment where you decide, no, I'm doing something different.
Right. So I think COVID definitely was a catalyst. I guess last year, just like I said, I'd always been hiding behind excuses. And also being a nurse of almost 30 years, I think I was hiding out in healthcare, because I just always, I felt it was like my comfort spot, because, you know, I was able to minister to people who were less fortunate than myself. So that gave me some form of gratitude. But last year, when everything shifted and everything got real, I think there was a patient that I worked with who had COVID, and she, I think the light bulb moment was that she was getting ready to, she had COVID, she was recovering from COVID, and she was getting ready to be discharged the following day. And she almost was like, I saw myself in this lady, because she had a son and a daughter who were my kids' age, getting ready to graduate. And she was saying to me, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get out of here, to be there for my kids, to see them graduate. And then the following day when I went to work, I heard she died. And I think that just kind of made me realize how fortunate I was. Instead of holding on to unforgiveness and excuses, I realized it was time to let go. I had been wanting to write this book, and I needed to forgive my dad completely, because I kept blaming him for not taking me to the doctor earlier. So there was just, I think last year, I just, you know, that kind of did it for me. So
I love that. And thank you for your transparency. I love that mirror to mirror moment. And certainly I'm so sorry that you lost that patient, but I'm so thankful, full of gratitude at the same time, that you were able to leverage that interaction that you had with them. It's almost like she passed you the baton and gave you the permission that you may have needed, that you may not have really did.
I think she was an angel, because that was the only time seeing her, and I tried to reach her family, and it just never happened, because it really did help. So
that's what it is. And this is what I want you guys to really, really think about. As we are just talking, like I told you guys, you know, off camera, just make sure we just relax, just chill out. Let's just have a conversation. But this is the legacy thing that I was talking about before. We don't know who's listening to us. And this, your story could be that moment for them where they have that epiphany, right, where they just make a decision that, you know, I have been doing this all this time. And now you are holding a mirror. We are holding a mirror, not just to others, but also to ourselves. And that's how we continue to grow and evolve, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, beautiful stories. Amazing. You were like, you were hiding out. You were hiding out in healthcare.
I was.
You know, right? And that was your comfort zone, right? What's familiar?
Yes.
Yeah.
For 27 years.
Right.
Shying away and just always saying, I'm too timid, so let somebody else do that. But that patient, she was just doing all she could to get out of there because she had so much to live for and she never made it out. And here I was, healthy as ever, just hiding out. So
Wow. A beautiful story. And I would even say she did make it out. She didn't make it out according to our terms or in this time and space, but she did because, and the reason why I say that, I don't say that being insensitive, but I say that because as you were stating, this woman decided, we're talking about making a decision. She decided that she was going to fight to the best of her ability to be there for her children. It sounds to me, somebody that's a total stranger doesn't know this woman, but from what I'm hearing through you is she did give it all she had. And for that, that's a win. That's a win for her. Yeah.
She did because she was coming from the ICU. So she did.
Wow. Sounds like God had another plan, but I give her her kudos. It sounded like she put in a heck of a fight. That's awesome. I'm encouraged by that.
Yes. She was there for me. So yes, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Sam, I'm shortening it. Sam and Sharday, jump in. What are you guys thinking? So I'm going to go to Sam or Sharday, and why don't you share about your one in a million moment? I love how Monique just stated that your one in a million moment, something happened. Something, there's some reason why you guys said, Ayana, I want to be a part of this anthology. Why? What was it for you, Sam?
Well, for me, it was, I made a goal and I was tired of blocking my blessings. The opportunity to, I've never imagined myself, I've always wanted to write, but I've never imagined it getting this far, especially right now at this time. I always thought that I had to have, you know, be at this status in life, have this degree, you know, be everything had to be situated a certain way. Way in order to, okay, put out a book, be an author, an accomplished author. And I kept putting it off. And I made a promise to myself, as I said, well, you know, I sat and thought about it. I said, Samantha, what are you doing? You know, you can't keep thinking that your way is the wrong way just because society and family thinks that your path should go, you know, in a different route. I remember I was a young a young unwed mother at the time, and everyone came with their opinions and on, you know, what I should do, why I should do it, and what decisions I should make. And I found my voice, and that's what I want to help other women to, is to find their voice and to understand that, you know, when you're of age and of the mindset to make your own choices and your decisions, be comfortable with that choice. Be comfortable with those decisions because you have to live for you. You have to define your own success in life and not let other people determine it for you. I felt shame, you know, and being that society has you thinking that you should do one particular thing this way. And, you know, the way my life, the path that I decided to take was in college and then had to stop in order to change my priorities. It was just a pause. It was this decision that I made at the time with my husband, my now husband. And those decisions wasn't easily accepted by society or our family and our loved ones. And, you know, that made me feel a little ashamed or like my way wasn't the right way. But I just, you know, I feel like my one in a moment moment came, I think it was 2018. I just kind of, I saw the effects of everybody else's expectations affecting my children, my oldest daughter specifically. And I said, man, I remember when it was just me being affected by it. Everybody else was oblivious to it. But now she started understanding and seeing what I was, you know, the, you know, if I mentioned anything about it, about that shame. And I said, no, I have to do something different. I have to change the way I move so that I'm comfortable with what I'm doing for myself and for my family. And yeah, when I made a goal to myself that when the opportunity presented itself to get on the project, I had kept holding it in. And one day I saw that Ayana was doing another book collaboration. And I said, me, you know, I said, let me sign up, you know. And she asked me a couple of years ago, like, you know, what did I ever think about writing or putting a story out there? And I took a leap of faith. I did the whole thing scared. And I just said, you know, by my 40th birthday, I'm doing this. And I did it. And I'm so happy that I did, because even now, no one knows our stories, but through, you know, letting people know that the book will be coming out soon, I've heard so many people with similar stories to mine. And I'm like, man, I can't wait till they see that, you know, they're not the only ones. But, you know, you can be that one in a million to get through your situation.
Wow. I love it. I love how you started your response. You're saying you set a goal. You know, this is something, and it just really comes down to being really open and honest with yourself, putting other people's expectations aside, and really getting clear on what the heck do I want? Like, even think about that. Because oftentimes we don't. I had to do it. I love what Ayana said earlier about, you know, you really don't start figuring life out until you hit 40. You think know before. You think you had it figured out. But then at 40, something else clicks. But I love the fact that you set that intention. And I did want to just level on Ayana, just from a space of encouragement, is, Sweet Pea, I know you've already done several books, but don't stop, because just like Samantha affectionately was waiting on her opportunity, she may not have been ready the last time. But you keep asking, because there's people that still need to get out of their own way. But when the opportunity presents themselves, they're going to be ready to say yes. So I love this. I love this conversation.
Wow, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Don't think, I've already done 59 and a half books that I'm stopping. No, this is, you already know, this is what God's called you to do. Right. And listen, I'll say, ride it until the wheels fall off. I already told you, you have an open opportunity to come back here and hang out with me anytime. So I'm going to highlight it, promote it. If you do it, we're going to keep pushing. So high five, Samantha. High five, Ayana. I'm going to go to Sade. What was that moment for you? We're talking about life. Now it feels like it's shifted to moments, that one in a million moment. What is your one in a million story about, radical woman?
So my one in a million story is about instability to stability. Up, I was in a very unstable around a lot, which started to become internal, was unstable internally as well, emotionally, mentally, because I wanted to be a part of, but encourage other women and as well as myself, and to be able to take unfortunate situations and turn them into healing and strength. And my story is called From Stability. So I want to aid in finding stability internally, you know, in the midst of chaos. You can't control anything outside of yourself. Have stability internally will help us out. And it's kind of my one in a million moment is kind of going back to what Monique was saying, how COVID was help in that moment. It was a real turning point, because COVID caused me to be still. And it's something that I've never done before. In childhood, we moved around. When I became an adult, I was so used to that life that that's all I did. Move. And when I did have time to be still, it felt natural to me. So I just tried to find the next thing to do to keep myself busy. So basically that moment when COVID came, it caused me to be still, and I was able to actually think, and I was able actually to be with myself, to confront myself on a lot of different things. And that is something I definitely wasn't used to. And that's something I was actually afraid of. And so when I wrote my children's book, I said, this is something I've always wanted to do. I'll be able to help girls now to get through what they need to get through, still not confronting the things that I need to get through. So when Ayana presented this opportunity, it just felt perfect for me because I was able to put out what, you know, what I had went through and why I am the way I am and why I want to be able to help other women to be able to get through. And this book has actually helped me in seeing a lot of different things that caused me to act the way I act, or the way I acted, excuse me. And that was a real one in a million moment for me, to be able to be still, to be self, to be able to be vulnerable with myself. I've never done those things before. Know how to, I was scared. And being able to write out everything that I went through, feeling, the steps that I was like intentionally taking to get to the place where I am now, it helped me out so much. And to be, you know, to be a part of this and to be able to help other women go through this was really important for me.
Wow. Now I see why the reception was messing up. They don't want you to download all that for us, but we're thankful. And I'm going to unpack what I think I heard. And ladies, I'd love for you to chime in. But at the core of what I'm hearing you say is COVID was a catalyst which caused you to be still. You were used to, accustomed, familiar with being busy. But this was a time and space created for you to think and confront the woman in the mirror. Face yourself. You also stated that you had never been vulnerable with yourself before. In fact, you said that you were afraid. And this, my darling, I think is where you're really, really helping humanity, because I think so many of us, especially women, we try to help everyone else while not really attending to ourselves. And that was like the life bulb moment for you, because this opportunity, obviously, to write in this book, because you were writing kids' books, which was helping other children, but without facing your own, I'm going to insert this word, but please don't allow me to offend you. It's not the intention to offend you. Insecurities, or whatever that could have been. Is that an accurate assessment of what I just heard you say?
Absolutely, that is accurate.
Which it made me think of this quote, to thy own self be true. So before we can be true with anyone else, we gotta be true with ourselves, even if that makes us feel vulnerable. I love it. What a courageous way of getting out of your own way and not self-sabotage your hopes, your dreams, your life. Wow, sound like a super growth moment. So it sounds like COVID, as much loss that we incurred, it also created an opportunity to evolve and become better, the next best version of ourselves. You guys agree?
Yes.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, 100%.
Wow. So with 5 minutes left to go, I don't want to keep the conversation going because I find you all and your story so very intriguing. I do want you to, we're here to serve. I want you to speak to the equivalent of Dr. Anu, the equivalent of Monique, Samantha, Ayana, and Sharde. That woman that's out there that's listening to your voice, remember, you may never know where she is, but she's listening. Speak to her. What would you say to her?
I would say do it afraid, if I was to do it afraid. It's scary. It's overwhelming, but the fact that you're still alive means there's something left to be done. You still have some greatness in you. So just do it afraid. I know it sounds, I don't want to be flip or, you know, but take that first step
awesome.
In trying to overcome.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think you
definitely, oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Samantha.
No, I was going to say, I totally agree with what Monique was saying. I would tell women to do this. Yes, definitely do that. Take that leap of faith, because if you keep promising yourself, oh, I'm going to do this one day, one day, one day, one day may never come. Live in your moment and walk in your purpose, and just know, just have that faith to just take it, you know, whether you succeed or fail, take that opportunity. You never know whether it's going to be the success or a learning, a teachable moment.
Awesome. Take that leap of faith.
Definitely.
Fabulous.
I think what I would love to share is that life is still there, you know. You need to just overcome, and it's okay that you made wrong choices. It's okay that, you know, things didn't work out for you. I mean, instead of just blaming yourself, I think forgive yourself, just embrace yourself, and you deserve to dream. You deserve a good life. You deserve to live. You deserve to be happy, in irrespective of what has been told to you or what has happened to you. I want to tell every woman out there, you really deserve to dream and have and live a life of abundance. Live a life with love. I mean, that's what I would love to say.
Fabulous. That's amazing. Thank you, Anu. Sade, Ayana?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to say, for women to have compassion with themselves, forgive themselves, honest with themselves. You feel like you are all with you, no matter where you go, no matter what you do. And I believe that being intentional about your relationship with yourself is very important, very valuable. And like the other said, to just be brave.
Yeah, be brave. I love that. Thank you.
Yes, I'm loving everyone. You know, I keep hearing, do it afraid, do it afraid. That's been the constant thing in my life. I don't care how many books I put out, I still do it afraid. You know, it's just one of those things, you know. I'm just really so happy that they trusted me enough with their stories, because I mean, they told you about it, but their stories are just so impactful that shouldn't just be in a book, but it needs to be in some curriculum, some course, some coaching program needs to come, because they have the power to overcome something so challenging, and so many people need help with it. But
yeah.
Say to my younger self would be, it's okay, it's going to be okay, you know, and it's okay when it's not okay. It's okay when you're not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going. Just keep on going no matter what.
Yeah. Well, you all epitomizes being a radical woman, and you almost certainly, you know, I don't want to change Ayana's book, the title, One in a Million, but I would declare that you're one in a lifetime. And I am so delighted that I've had this opportunity to have a courageous conversation. High five. I salute and celebrate each one of you all the way in India, Dr. Anu. Thank you. You're probably tired and ready to go to bed. Thank you. Looking beautiful. Look like she's about to go in corporate America again. She's looking amazing. Thank you so much for being on. It's certainly a pleasure to have you here, Ayana. Thank you for always bringing these amazing authors. And we didn't even touch them all today. So if the others want to do a separate recording and share their stories, they are most definitely welcome. I received that heart. Dr. Anu, thank you so much. Love and kisses and hugs. God bless you all. That is another episode of Courageous Conversations with Shireen. I want to remind you that the viewpoints expressed in the preceding program were not necessarily that of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. And until next week, Savannah, take care.